If you're a human who happens to be a writer, it's not smart to lift the exact words of others.
For example, you wouldn't want to do what the Pulitzer Prize-winning historian Stephen Ambrose has now admitted to. Over the weekend, Ambrose fessed up to using passages from another historian in his latest work, The Wild Blue.
And it now appears that the same thing may have happened in three other Ambrose books. In a 1997 work called Citizen Soldiers, Ambrose used words very similar to those in Beyond the Beachhead by Joseph Balkoski.
Here's a side-by-side example of what we mean. The male voice that you'll hear now is what Ambrose wrote. The female voice is the original.
Men
the next
from the 3rd
morning,
Battalion
the 29ers draped the body with the stars and stripes
and hoisted it on top of a huge pile of stones that once had been a wall of St. Croix Church, one block west of the cemetery.
The body remained on display throughout July 19th.
July 19th. GIs and some of the few civilians remaining in the town adorned the site with flowers.
And from another part of the same works,
the center of the place city was a lifeless pile of rubble, in which roads and sidewalks could scarcely be distinguished.
And yet another.
In the next several days, the 175th captured enemy troops of so many different nationalities that one GI blurted to his company commander, Captain, just who the hell are we fighting anyway?
In 1991, the same sort of similarities occur in Ambrose's Nixon, Ruin and Recovery. This time, the similarities were with Exile, The Unquiet Oblivion of Richard M. Nixon by Robert Sam Anson.
Even Rosalind Carter, to whom Nixon continued to play flattering deference, was impressed.
She told a fellow passenger he was more charming than she had imagined. Indeed, he was almost nice.
Well, almost nice.
And there are more, but you get the idea. Thomas Mallon is author of Stolen Words, a book about plagiarism. He says nonfiction writers have to be on guard for inadvertent lifting.
When you're writing a work of history, you have a great deal of paraphernalia around you. You have printed sources, archival sources. You've got handwritten notes that you've made. You've got Xeroxes that you've made. You've got things that you've perhaps stored on your computer. It takes a great deal of organizational skill, I think, to write history and to write any kind of nonfiction. And it is certainly possible that honest mistakes occur. People get sloppy, they get tired, they do more than they should have, they don't think through the right system for organizing their materials. That all happens. And then what also happens is that sometimes that is made as the excuse for something more serious, which is a deliberate kind of lifting of material and passing it off as the writer's own.
And I suppose one benign explanation would be that you become so familiar with the material that you think you may have actually written something. You've internalized it to the extent that you think it may actually be yours.
I think that can happen. One of the things that is always in very short supply in any discussion of plagiarism is common sense. And I think that what one has to do in any case where it's at issue is apply common sense. Look at the amount of material involved.
Are there guidelines that students are taught specifically on how to organize themselves, how to keep notes in a careful way to prevent inadvertent plagiarism in their own writing?
Well, I think you don't want to lock writers into one method of doing things. I think people have to develop the habits that they're comfortable with that work for them.
How damaging do you think this might be to Stephen Ambrose? He's an immensely popular writer. Do you think this would have a lasting effect on his popularity?
I think it's bound to hurt his reputation considerably because the coverage of it has been very, very extensive. On the other hand, I would say it seems to me he's behaved rather gracefully about it. From what I can see in the last week, he has not tried to obfuscate things. He's, you know, responded quickly and apologetically. I think that will mitigate the damage.
Thomas Mallon, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thomas Mallon's most recent book is Mrs. Payne's Garage and the Murder of John F. Kennedy. He spoke to us from his home in Westport, Connecticut, about the allegations of plagiarism in works by the historian Stephen Ambrose.